it going, Meg?
We're sitting in this hot-ass garage trying to get some shit done, but technology is not helping us.
It's like we haven't done this in a little bit.
It's like we haven't done this in 2 fucking months.
Well, we did Zoom record.
We did a Zoom record.
And that's a little bit easier because it's super simple of a setup.
Super simple setup, but I just miss the garage.
I miss the garage too.
Now we're here. So, getting back into our Alaska stories, I have a few stories for you today.
Yay! I'm super excited. Get me pumped up for tomorrow, which we're not going to tell you tomorrow because we're going to do, when we release this, it won't be tomorrow.
Definitely not tomorrow. It'll probably be in September.
Yay!
If you know our track record. But maybe not. I don't know. We can always try harder than we are. So.
Ugh. Okay.
I mean, I guess. But tomorrow we have a field trip planned. It was very impromptu. Neither of us was expecting to do it, but
the stars are aligning.
Recently, we just have a little window opened up because of our lack of work. So,
woo!
Anyway, I'm going to tell you about some spooky haunted roads all over Alaska. I have a few stories for you.
I'm very excited.
Okay, have you ever heard of the Bedarka Road?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to start with that. This is in South Birchwood of Chugiak?
Chugiak?
Chugiak. Okay. And I know I'm going to say all of these wrong, but
I know some of them. So some of them I can correct you on. Some of them I can't.
I'm just going to try my best. But we're starting on Bedarka Road. And the legend has it that this road is haunted by a father mourning his daughter. The story goes that one winter, a man was with his young daughter, and together they were out chopping and collecting wood along the side of the road while his family was back inside at home. And this little girl was supposed to be 5 years old. So super little, pretty dependent.
Yeah.
Anyway, while he was between chopping wood, he had put down his axe into a tree to keep his daughter from, like, getting a hold of it. And then he went to take, like, a rest. But his daughter was, like, a little helpful lady. And she was a tough little girl. And she decided to try and impress her dad. And while he was away, she grabbed that axe out of the tree. And when she pulled it back, she actually ended up striking herself in her head, which caused her to die immediately.
Ooh. But also, who brings a 5-year-old to go chop wood?
Well, I don't think she was there to, like, help. I think she was just there because he's like, do you want to go chop wood? And she's
yeah. But at the same time, like, I would not bring a child to, like, hey, I'm going to go swing an axe around. You want to come hang out with me?
Oh, I don't know, dude. Sometimes you just got to get a kid out of the house.
That's true.
Teach him how to chop wood and stuff.
Yeah, I guess. It's just weird. It's weird. It's like bringing a baby to a bar. It's never going to sit well with me.
I haven't seen a lot of babies in bars, but
exactly, because it's weird.
Actually, that's not true. When I was working at a restaurant bar, I would see people, like, at the bar with their baby, and then I'd be like, listen, your baby can't be here. Like, it can be over there, like, 6 feet away from the bar, but, like, you cannot have your baby up here at the bar. And they're like, why not? Where else am I supposed to put the baby? Like, stop being an alcoholic. Get away from the bar. Right? Wait till you get your table.
You can maybe get that. Your table.
Maybe that. I mean,
that's
I don't know.
That's not weird at all. Like, drinking when you're out. But there's something about, like, sitting at a bar for me with a baby that's like, what?
I don't know.
People are weird. People are weird. And you know what? You do with your kids what you want. That's why I don't have them.
Yep. We don't have kids. So, I don't know.
Can't judge.
Can't judge. You do you, but maybe
not
at the bar. I don't know.
And also, maybe don't bring them to go chop wood until they're like 7 or 8 and know to stay out of the way and not fuck with shit.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see how this story goes. Anyway. So I heard, like, I read varying different stories of, like, exactly how this legend goes. So there's one way that says that she took the axe out of the tree and she hit herself in the head with the axe. And I read another story that said when she took the axe out of the tree ended up falling over on top of her and killing her. So it could be one of those. I can't find any historical actual significance to this story. It's actually just kind of like an urban legend. But
shocker.
Shocker. And that's basically this entire story today.
Of course.
Yeah. Once the father had realized what had happened to his daughter, he sat overcome with grief until he also succumbed to the elements, and he sat in the road cradling her body until he developed hypothermia and also died in the road.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to this day, rumors say that if you drive down Bodarka Road at 3:30 in the morning, about halfway down, you might see the vision of a man holding the lifeless, bloody body of a child, and you might hear the wailing and crying of a grief-stricken father alongside the screams of his young daughter.
Yikes.
Don't love that.
Don't love that. Sorry about it.
But should we go? Absolutely.
Well, probably. I don't know. We'd have to look it up.
I guess I didn't. Well, it is on a map. So, like, the road is on a map. We could definitely... It's between markers 8 and 12 is what the legend says. So, if you drive between markers 8 and 12 at 3:30 a.m., you may or may not see or hear...
What's the road called?
Bodarka Road in South Birchwood. It's definitely on a map because I read it and I looked it up.
Oh, it is in Anchorage.
Is it in Anchorage? Well, we'll be there.
It looks like it, yeah.
Well, we'll be there. I don't know if we'll be there at 3:30 a.m., but...
Oh, probably not, but we'll figure it out.
You never know. We might just drive around for a while. Okay, the second spooky road I want to tell you about is the old Kicksadie...
Oh, wait. Hold on. It's not in Anchorage.
No?
It's up by... It's up way... Yeah. It's far...
It's far from where we are headed.
Yeah, it's like the opposite direction. So we're going south, west, and it's north.
Alaska's a big place.
Alaska's so giant.
Yeah, it's spread out.
So we'll go next time.
Next time, for sure. So the next road I want to tell you about is the old Kicksadie corner in Sitka, Alaska. For the life of me, I could not find this on any Google map or any information on the internet about where this corner is. Yeah. I spent probably an hour and a half trying to figure out if this was real or not. And again, I think it's all urban legend today.
Well, I don't mind either way.
I know.
Let's you're just get here into for it. The
stories.
Yeah. I'm just along for the ride.
There's a spot called Rookie's Corner. And that used to be a bar or a watering hole called the Kick or Kicksadie Corner in Sitka. Legend goes that this was a club that later turned into a sports bar. But the local legend about this area is that sometime in the late 1800s, a drunk woman stumbled out of the bar and into the street to make her way home. While she was in the street, she was struck by a driver who was also under the influence. And it was witnessed by a ton of people outside of the bar, although nobody seemed to come and help her after she was hit by the car, who also abandoned her. Hit and run. While she was in the street, she was somehow able to come to her feet, regardless of her body being completely very badly injured and mangled. Her level of intoxication possibly allowed her to stand up and weave through the street, screaming and moaning until she slowly died in the road.
Ugh.
Again, nobody came to help her.
That sucks so bad. I feel like if that happened to me, I would just, like, lay there and curse their lives with everything that I had in me.
You know how when you're drunk sometimes, though, like, you're a little bit invincible?
Oh, yeah, just, like, a tiny bit.
Just, like, a tiny bit. So I think maybe that's what... was happening.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe she didn't realize how injured she was. But then again, nobody came to help her.
Right? I feel like that's the most... That's such a typical response, too.
Well, especially now, but, like, in the late 1800s, like, I don't know. I figured maybe one person. again.
Nah, I mean, you ever hear that woman who was stabbed and, like, there's, like, 40 witnesses and nobody saved her or helped her or called the police?
I do remember that story. I think, I know. I know it's real, the bystander effect. It's just...
It's so weird.
It's strange.
It's sad. It's so sad. That sucks so bad. And I'm glad she haunts. Because I would be haunting. I would be cursing. I would be all of the ins, you know, witching it up as much as I could.
A vengeful ghost, for sure.
Vengeful as fuck. If you hit me with a car,
God, cars are heavy.
So rude.
Yeah. So now, late in the evenings or in the early mornings, along this corner, people can hear screams and moans coming. And drivers often report seeing a woman weaving back and forth along the corner into the road at night. This is rumored to be a warning against those who decide to drive impaired, as she shows herself to those who take that risk and can be sobered by that experience, thinking they have actually hit somebody.
Oh my gosh.
So this is kind of like history repeating itself in lesson type of way.
What if you're not impaired? What if you're just, like, on the phone?
I mean, I guess you're a terrible driver. I'm not saying, like, if you're on the phone is a bad driver, but, like, if you're such a bad driver that you're on the phone and you're still hitting somebody, like, maybe just take the bus. I don't know. I don't consider myself to be a good driver, but I can still, like, at least make a phone call, and I haven't hit anybody so far.
Well, I mean, texting, you know?
I try really hard not to text and drive, but I have, like, voice to text for that reason.
I mean, sometimes you gotta... I'm just saying, like...
I think...
Do you think that she goes with all... impaired, distracted drivers or just drunk drivers?
Probably just impaired, distracted drivers. I don't know.
Okay, because we're not throwing judgments out here.
We're definitely
right
not.
Now, Meg.
But don't drink and drive. That's my advice for everybody.
Definitely don't do that. That's not what I'm saying, you know.
No.
I'm just wondering.
Ashley, you're a bad driver too. I know.
I know that I'm a bad driver, but...
Unless you haven't gotten a ticket yet.
Not in a really long time.
You remember that time you tried to convince a cop to give you a ticket? Because you were texting and driving?
And I was high, and I also was speeding.
And he was like, girl, calm down.
I'm not going to give you a ticket. And I'm like, are you sure? Please?
Sorry. You're just so lucky. So moral of the story.
Cops love me.
Cops love Ashley.
No. Don't drink and drive. That's what we're going
with. Yeah. And also don't drink and drive because this woman may just spook you into sobriety. The next road I want to tell you about is the Chena Hot Springs Road.
Oh, I've been on that one.
Have you?
It was the most terrifying road I've ever driven on in my whole life.
Tell me why.
Because it was October and it was a sheet of ice for the entire thing.
Sounds right.
Yep. And,
sounds like Alaska.
So scary.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well... The Chena Hot Springs Road at Birch Hill and Fairbanks. And I'm also going to tell you about the Birch Hill Cemetery because it's right up the road.
Okay.
So between miles 8 and 12 of Chena Hot Springs Road in Fairbanks, there have been reports of blue, white, and orange orbs of light.
Ooh.
Randomly and sporadically. They are set to appear in the sky and even follow your car during the nighttime. And it said that sometimes they appear... specifically like headlights, and it's at a very specific time, which is after 7 p.m.
Weird.
I know.
I was driving it in like the midday.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon that happens after 7 p.m. Some, like, a lot of people have reported seeing lights above this road of different colors.
So weird.
Which I could say there is also an aura spot lookout down the road. So it could potentially just be northern light activity. But so many people have specifically reported that they are orbs of light.
Yeah, and that doesn't sound anything like a northern light experience.
No, it doesn't.
I saw some amazing northern lights there.
That's where they are. That's where you can see them. That's what I hear in Fairbanks.
You can see them all over Alaska.
Why is it specifically Fairbanks is like a hotspot for them?
Because of where it is located, because it's so far up.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll show you stuff later.
Yeah, sounds good. So right up the road.
Whoop.
Yep. From the Hot Springs Road is Birch Hill Cemetery. So some of the sightings go back to the 1930s in the cemetery.
Ooh.
And on top of people seeing orbs in the cemetery, they also report seeing a couple of kids.
I hate kid ghosts. I hate kid ghosts. I hate kid ghosts. I hate kid ghosts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with you on that.
I don't know why there is something so unsettling to me about a kid ghost.
I think the older I get, the more I'm, like, way okay with, like, a child ghost than I am with, like, a creepy old man ghost. But I also hate kid ghosts just because their voices are so soft and scary.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. Okay, so for me, I think it goes creepy old man ghost, kid ghost, you know, woman in white ghost way down.
Sure.
And then maybe other ghosts? I don't know. Miscellaneous ghosts.
After that, yeah. That's a good list. I can agree with that. So I'm not sure if they're like a duo type of ghost, like they know each other, but the little boy has been seen wandering the cemetery, and also an apparition of a little girl wearing a white dress.
Of course.
And she has been dubbed the White Lady of Birch Hill, which I thought originally when I read that, I was like, okay, so there's a lady and then a couple of kids, but no, the child is the lady. But they're dressed.
Is she like a big child? Like
I don't think so. They're speculated to be dressed in like 1900s era clothing, and there's a rumor that the children may have come from the 1918 influenza epidemic that hit Fairbanks.
Yep. Okay.
Where so many people died.
Just the most.
The Arctic with the lack of access to medicine. But that sounds right on track, I suppose. They do seem to be wandering this graveyard specifically, though.
Mm. Gross.
I know. The White Lady of Birch Hill is what they call her.
I mean,
I've seen some, like, pictures on the internet that people have captured. Some of them are pretty, like, odd. Like, I don't see specifically children in the ones I've seen, but I've seen definitely, like, some with, like, orbs in them and some with, like, kind of misty figures.
Ooh, okay.
Which to say, I don't know if it's just kids haunting the cemetery, but that's what people have been saying, is they specifically see these two children there.
Weird.
Spooks.
Spooks!
And then the last place I want to tell you about is the ghosts of the Copper Railway near Kennecott.
Okay.
You know where Kennecott is?
I know of Kennecott. I don't know exactly where it is.
Me either. But so, it's somewhere in Alaska.
Cool. I'm into it.
I know it's like a ghost town.
Oh, yeah. It's like one of the most well-preserved ghost towns.
Yeah. Well, and I think they still do like tourism there, so you can still stay there, but it's technically a ghost town.
Yeah. You can't like stay in the big buildings, but like, yeah, because they're very rickety, but you can definitely tour them.
Yeah. So during the Gold Rush era, the CR and NW, which stands for the Copper River and Northwestern Railway, was constructed so that ore, gold, and copper could be extracted from the depths of the Wrangell Mountains.
You just loved railroads.
They're fucked up. They have so much tragic history attached to them.
It's crazy.
You love boats. I just love railways. I don't know.
Tragic.
I love tragedy.
Yes.
That's my problem.
We come to the bottom of it. Mm. We've figured it all out, I see.
So with the construction of the railway came towns that popped up all around the area. One of them being the now ghost town of Kennecott, where the Kennecott mine was located. Since the remote location of where these ore and copper and gold deposits were located, the construction of the railway presented, you may say, more than a few challenges during the time. Kennecott's ore was mined from deep inside the Wrangell Mountains and then carried across a 3-mile atrial tramway before it was conveyed 4,000 feet down the frozen mountainside to the mining town of Kennecott. And from there, the ore met up with the Copper River and the Northwestern Railway to be transported further out. It is abandoned now, but the 200-mile stretch of track ambling from Kennecott Glacier south to Cordova on Prince William Sound, and then from there, the copper that was hauled there, it was shipped to smelters in Tacoma. Mm. Shout out.
Fun!
So the railroad was built by the J.P. Morgan Finance Kennecott Copper Corporation between 1907 and 1911. It spanned a massive glacier, causing the tracks to be moved continually due to the shifting and settling of the glacier, which makes it pretty tough to build. Yes. Bridged massive canyons.
It's almost like you shouldn't be building on a glacier.
It sounds like they fucked around and they found out.
Definitely did that.
Mm-hmm. Clung tenaciously to rock walls above the Copper River. So, if you can picture that. There was also, like, hundreds of bridges built to keep the track going over the most crazy fucking places.
It seems like such a waste of money.
It was like over $20 million to build back then.
Jesus Christ.
Which I can't even imagine what that would be now.
But I think they pulled like $1 billion of product out of Kennecott. Yeah. So I guess
it paid off, but
what a gamble, right?
Yeah. It paid off, but only for a time, essentially. And of course, over the years of construction, thousands of people died.
Oh, yeah.
Because some were required to, like, dig through the snow and the avalanche. Some were required to blast away through the mountains. And we both know what happens when you blast through mountains and
avalanches. And then they just sent like other guys to just go clean it up. Like, oh, hey, those guys died making this avalanche. So you're going to have to go and like dig it out.
Sorry.
Whoops.
That's like,
I don't understand why they took these jobs. Like, it didn't really seem like they paid well.
No.
It didn't. It just seemed like that was, like, the job available?
Pretty much. I think it was a time period where you just kind of took what you could, especially if you had, like, a family to feed.
Yeah, but I mean, like, mining was also, I don't know. It just seems like railroading was, like, for the outlaws, you know? Like, I'm hiding my identity, or I'm enslaved.
Yeah, well, and it's like, not only was it the railroad workers that were being injured continuously, but also people that were working in the mines. So people that set up shop and were actually employed by the mines were also just being killed constantly.
Oh, of course. That's...
And it's like, they had all of these pop-up towns all over, kind of around the area. And with that comes construction and death. Yeah.
So much death.
Like, yeah. Basically, just unknown amounts of people died in this time period connected to these areas.
Of course.
And as a matter of fact, the folks that were doing all this construction, they came up with a different acronym for CR and NW, which meant can't run and never will. Which is spooky.
That cuts deep.
It cuts deep.
Burn.
Just dread. So, widespread and persistent rumors of hauntings along the old track have been reported from the region, especially near Chitnia.
Okay.
I think it's...
Chitina.
That makes sense. I can't pronounce these words. It's really difficult for me. And there was a 30-year boom, essentially, between then and when it ran out in the nearby town of McCarthy, which is just adjacent to Kennecott. And although Kennecott had strict rules regarding the natural ways that people blow off their steam when they're working like that, meaning that they were restricted on things that people like gambling and drinking in brothels, McCarthy did not have those restrictions. So throughout this entire boom, actually, McCarthy is the only town that survived.
Yeah, I have friends that live there.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. So, naturally, at the end of its heyday, many people abandoned this area and the railroad itself. And as time passed, spooky stories started to circulate just specifically around the Copper Railroad and its broken down tracks. And it's not only said that the railroad is haunted, but lots of those ghost towns as well. Obviously. Oh,
yeah. I mean, there's so much death and bodies and, like, you know, and they couldn't really do a lot for bodies back then. It's like
you can't really dig a grave in the snow.
Yeah, and you can't really, like, give the body back to your family or, like, their family because so far. And they didn't have a railroad to put it on, you know?
Nope. No more.
Because it was shitty.
Yeah. It's pretty broken apart now, I think. But photos have been captured of mysterious children and old miners in the surrounding area that obviously can't be identified. In the forest next to the tracks, many people have cited seeing full-bodied apparitions both day and night. When the Wrangell St. Elias National Park was established off the old Copper Railroad grade was used to build the road that leads to the park. And the small town of Chitina, west of the park, is now a tourist spot with summer cabins to rent. And many visitors of the town have stated that they've seen this strange phenomenon along this road. But as they head for the park, they report seeing old tombstones just off the dirt path parallel to the former Copper Railroad. And then when they come back out of the park, the tombstones are not there anymore.
What?
They just show up and disappear. It's a very common thing that people report.
That's so weird. I wonder, like, I mean, I'm sure people are buried along there and they just put tombstones and, like, then, you know... elements.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, people have tried to photograph them, but nobody's been able to capture a photo of it.
Ooh, spooky.
Mm-hmm. And in the 1990s, the state decided to develop the area again, and they sent construction workers to build government housing along old parts of, like, the rail line where the CR and NW was.
Mm-hmm.
And during this construction, the workers started to report seeing full-bodied apparitions walking around and hearing disembodied voices while they were working, both children and adults. The activity became so dominant that it prevented the workers from actually doing their jobs.
Oh, my God.
Their tools started to vanish. Yeah, their tools started to vanish, often taken by unseen hands right out of their tool belts and boxes.
Or I would just leave.
So they got scared to the point where they refused to continue.
They just left.
And because of nobody wanted to go and actually develop, the decision was reversed. And they said, okay, never mind. We're not building community housing here.
Just kidding.
And since then, no one has tried to rebuild.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah. So that is a four kind of spooky... folklore tales about different roads.
I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry, I feel like I rushed through that, but...
I don't feel like you rushed through it.
Maybe.
I feel like it reminds me of our roots. our spooky hikes and our ghost towns.
That's kind of where I was at when I was writing it. Like, I've started 4 different stories for Alaska that I'm only halfway followed through with, but that was one that I just finally finished. Right. And it wasn't even that bad. I don't know what my problem is.
It's because it just doesn't... We're, just so you guys know, we're in a weird transition period where we're starting, like, a side project, and we're at the, like, almost 2-year mark of doing this podcast, and we're just kind of, like, trying to figure out where we're at and what it means to us, and, like, I know that this is stuff that, like, should just be a conversation via text between me and Meg, but we're sharing it with you because we want you to know kind of where we're at. And so if we have some weird episodes, it's just because we're in weird spaces.
Yep. That was good, Ashley. You just explained all of our problems.
Yeah. Done.
That everybody knows now.
Ah, shit. Well, we just, like, appreciate all our listeners.
We do appreciate you, whoever you are. Sorry for my tone.
It's hot, okay?
It's really hot in the garage. We're ready to get out. And it's been a pleasure to tell you some stories today.
Yes. Please, like, rate and review us. It really makes a difference in, like, us getting exposure and people finding out about us. And we love email. We're also going to try to be more active on our social medias. So,
which is really hard for us because we both hate social media so much.
I hate it with a passion, and she hates it with a passion, and I'm so tired of it. But you know what? We need to do it because it is how the world runs today.
It's how the world works now, and it is what it is.
So we would love for you to reach out to us.
Please reach out. If you've been to any of these roads... Yeah. Tell us. Like, I would love to hear about it.
Yeah, or if you have an experience somewhere else.
Or anywhere else.
All right. Bye.
Bye.